As Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ is the author of that one great thing that men seek for the most. But in order to be the Prince of Peace, Jesus must also fulfill another portion of God's Word. I'd like you to turn with me this morning to the book of the Revelation, to the first chapter, and we will begin reading with verse 4. The book of the Revelation, the first chapter, and verse 4. John the Revelator speaking, it says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And those are not strange things when you think about seven spirits, because it's speaking about the spirit of understanding and knowledge and so forth. And then it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That fifth verse is an outstanding portion of God's Word because it tells us of the ministry or the purpose of the ministry of Jesus himself. First of all, we note that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. Secondly, we note that he was the first begotten of the dead. And thirdly, we note it says that he is or will be the prince of the kings of the earth. And then we note that he loved us. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. In this verse concerning Jesus is embodied the purpose of the ministry of Christ Jesus. And whenever we think about the Christmas season, I believe that it is well for us to recognize that he is exactly that which is stated in this verse, or there is no purpose in our coming together in his name to have anything to do with the thing we call religion. Jesus Christ's ministry of the past. First of all, we note that Jesus was born, that he lived, that he died, and that he was resurrected from the dead. Without that portion of the message of the Word, we would be here in worshiping in just a name. We cannot stop then at the manger in Bethlehem, but we must go beyond this to note that Jesus Christ's purpose after that, as he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. As he presented in what I often call truly the Lord's Prayer in John 17, we note that he said there, that he had, to paraphrase it or to speak it in modern language, he said there that he had carried out the purpose for which he was sent. He had glorified his Father. He had presented the message. He had witnessed of the power of God. And therefore, he could commit those his disciples to God's care and keeping because he knew that God had directed him and had kept him. Then we note that when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, there at the close of the time when he hung on the cross, Jesus himself said, it is finished. But those who stood around did not understand what Jesus was saying. They thought, yes, it is finished. We are through with this fellow. But the scripture points out here, as it also points out in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus was the first begotten from the dead. He was the first fruits from the dead. He came forth to life everlasting. We also notice that because of the power that God gave him, he could speak to his disciples concerning the day when he would restore again the kingdom to Israel, as we find in Acts 1. But shortly thereafter, as he ascended into the heavens, the angel of God stood by and spoke to those disciples and said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Therefore, according to the promises of God, according to the statement of the angel, according to the message of the prophets, according to the message of the apostles, Jesus is coming again. And I hear of those things which are taking place in this world, and I note the power of the nations that are in existence. Just last night, rather late, I opened the newspaper, and I note that one of the threats that is being made against Russia today says, "Now, if Russia continue in your aggression around the world, all of the other nations of the world will have to build more armaments. What a threat! In other words, it doesn't make any difference whether we go up in a boom or three or four booms, that the world will go up in one great explosion. However, I do not believe that that will be. Well, the great event of the future will be, as we say to you so frequently, the great thing that will happen in the future is that those who know the Lord will hear the trumpet sound, and they'll hear the voice of the archangel. Now hear the trump of God, and will hear this message, as it were, come forth unto me. In that day, wondrous things will take place, as we find in the book of the Revelation again, the 22nd chapter and the 12th verse. He said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." Think on this. Behold, I come quickly. And that thought, we say, well, but that was spoken nearly 2,000 years ago. But we would like you to see this in a little bit different light. He is speaking about an event that will, as it were, creep up on the world. Or possibly, even as we know, it will even creep up on the church. If we are speaking about the day of the Lord, which shall come as a thief in the night, according to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. These things, these words are spoken that we might, as we're, look through the eyes of faith and see something other than the affairs of the world, but hear the message of the Scripture that, "Behold, I come." In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and we note these words, the first three verses. 1 John 3:1-3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now we note here, as we have read and have quoted, that he is coming. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Titus, the 2nd chapter. And again, the Apostle Paul is the writer of this portion of Scripture. And we notice here what it says in Titus 2 and verse 13. It says, "Looking for that blessed hope, And the glorious appearing of the great God, or the one whom we adore, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Then notice verse 15, the exhortation to the church, the exhortation to faithfulness. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and as you're turning to that, and verses 37 through 39, I would like to comment just for a moment. We today, or God's people today, are often looked upon as being, shall I call, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, and he was a prophet of doom. But on the other hand, we note that Jeremiah the prophet was also a prophet of hope. He predicted that which was contrary to the will of man, but he also told about the glory of those things which should be. So we believe then that God knew what he was talking about when he spoke about the glory which should come to Israel, to Jerusalem, to Jesus Christ, and to God's people. In the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, and the 23rd chapter, we note that Jesus presented the message of his coming. For he speaks in this manner. Oh, and the 37th verse, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Then note, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus will come someday to his own people. He will come, shall I say, to his own land. He was born in Bethlehem in Judea. He was crucified, shall I say, he was condemned at Jerusalem. He was crucified in the area of Jerusalem. He ascended from the mount called Mount Olivet, or the Mount of Olives. And Zechariah tells us again that his feet again shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. Now when Jesus said, You shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He was speaking not alone to Jerusalem, but he was speaking to his church. He was speaking to his church as well. Now, I trust that we are not in the category with the message concerning Jerusalem as killing those who had been sent unto him, unto them, or despising Jesus Christ who had preached unto them. But rather, we should see through the eyes of hope, as it is stated here, that the very message that Jesus is coming, and we shall someday say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Perhaps it is possible that Jesus is even saying to the world as a whole, you'll go on in your own way, you'll do what you want to do, you'll live in your sin, you'll walk on in your own, on your own pathway. But the day will come when you'll cry out, Come, Lord Jesus, as the Revelator also stated, Come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly. You desire to see the coming of the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who, as the Revelation stated, is ordained to be the Prince of the kings of this world. Today we have the superpower. We have China. We have the United States of America. We have gathered together in the various portions of the world, various federations of armies and nations. We have called them such things as NATO, and the Alliance for Peace in the South Pacific and so on along the line. But in all of this, we are only noting men's struggle to solve the great dilemma of the massive armaments that exist in the world. But the Prince of Peace is coming again. I would like you now to turn to several Old Testament thoughts where certain predictions are made concerning that which will take place when the Prince of Peace and the Prince of the Kings of the Earth shall return to the earth. Note here, first of all, the book of Isaiah the prophet. The book of Isaiah the prophet, and we will note here these words in the beginning with verse 17 of the 65th chapter. Isaiah 65 and beginning with verse 17. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. I might comment on this for a moment. You will remember that it speaks in the book of 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter about the destruction of the world that then was before the flood, as the water overwhelmed the world and cleansed it. And then it speaks about the earth also being cleansed by fire. And then we remember that Jeremiah speaks concerning the Ark of the Covenant. He says it will not be remembered again or come into mind. Why? That we cannot picture with our mind's eye today the glory of a perfect world. We cannot picture with our mind's eye today the glory of a sinless world. We can hardly imagine what it would be like to pick up, as it were, a newspaper and then find in the newspaper only that which is good news. Everything is just fine. Yeah, the crops are just right. There's no one has died. There's no one that has been sick. There's no one that has had a fire. There's not been an accident. There hasn't been a bank rob. No one has been mugged. No one has been killed on the streets of the Greenville or Pelzer or Anderson or New York City or Chicago or London or any place in the world. There's not been an airplane crash. There hasn't been a border clash. Everything is perfect because there is truly peace on earth and goodwill among men. That's what it's saying here. That's what it's saying here. Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. As it says there in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, I create a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And how will this be possible? The prince of the kings of this earth will rule over them as King of kings and Lord of lords. Today Jesus carries a title, but in that day he shall be with that which he is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the book of Zechariah, the 2nd chapter, the 2nd chapter, first of all, Zechariah 2, and we notice these words in the verses, I'm looking at the wrong book. Zechariah, the 2nd chapter, and note again these words, the 11th and 12th verses of Zechariah 2. And many nations, go back to verse 10, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come. I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of them. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Remember the words of Jesus. Ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In Isaiah the 11th chapter and the 9th verse, in the book of Isaiah the 11th chapter and the 9th verse, And that wonderful chapter concerning the kingdom conditions or perfect conditions, we note these words. It's speaking about the one who should arise, who would have the power to rule, who would rule with righteousness according to Isaiah 11 and 4, who would finally put down all rule and all authority. But verse 9 is the verse that I like you to see. Isaiah 11 and verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain or in all my holy kingdom, where the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Again, we note Isaiah the 35th chapter, Isaiah 35, and again some of those kingdom conditions. And then we'll go back to the manner in which it will all come to pass. It speaks here in Isaiah 35, saying, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Remember what we said earlier. No sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no death, no heartache, no trial, no tribulation. It says it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grassed with reeds and rushes. And that thought simply means there'll be no more destroyers there. A highway shall be there, and the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall go up thereon, shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall know obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Little wonder that probably the theme that is presented from God's word in the prophetically speaking is the one which is presented more than all others, is the message of the perfection of the kingdom of God. Little wonder that more than 900 times the message goes out in one way or another from the Word of God. Jesus is coming again. So we preach this, we present it, because this is the hope of the world. I do not know what the future holds so far as the political things of this nation or this world are concerned. I do not know how many wars and skirmishes will take place. But I do know one thing. And it is not my word, but the word of God. And I would have you to turn with me to find it in the book of Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, and notice these words. Isaiah, the 2nd chapter. It is telling that which shall come to pass. As the prince of peace, as the prince of the king of this world, as the one who will become king of kings and lord of lords, rules over the nations of this world and subdues them, as we find in First Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 23. He shall put down all rule and all authority. How will it be done? And we note Isaiah, the 2nd chapter. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. If Jerusalem is the is to become the capital city of the world, it is the place where God shall rule. If this is to be, then God has a special place for that city. Apparently, it is the one great thing held by the nations of this world today as being the key to peace on earth. Jerusalem, as it states in the book of Zechariah, will be a cup of trembling to all nations that have anything to do with her in this present time. But note, God says something concerning Jerusalem. Isaiah 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. The nation, the kingdom of the Lord, shall be established above all kingdoms, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Many people shall go up and say, Come ye, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations, the same thought that's in Isaiah 11. He shall rebuke among many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And verse 17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they, that is, those who worship idols and follow the ways of the world, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. And that day, don't put your trust in gold and silver and stock certificates and houses and lands, for what does it say? In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which he made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord, when he for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for this world. God has a purpose for the nation. God has a purpose for his church. God has a purpose for Jesus Christ. God will send his son Jesus to redeem those who walk with God, who walk with Jesus Christ, who seek that which is best in this life, that which is best, the righteousness of our God. Jesus Christ has been called to be the Prince of Peace, to be the Prince of the kings of the earth. He has been called, anointed, appointed, to be at last King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God has also given to each of us the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord, the privilege of knowing that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer, the privilege of knowing that he is coming again, the privilege of knowing that there will be peace on earth and goodwill among men. He has promised to those who love him then the promise, or he has given to those who love him then, the promise of living forever in the kingdom of God upon this earth. I just trust that each of us, having known God's love and having come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and Redeemer, will live for that day and to that end, to the glory of God, to the upholding of the name of Jesus Christ. And when that great trumpet sounds, we'll not be standing, as it were, with our hands and our lives filled with the trappings and the good of this world. Rather, having beheld the message of the manger, and seeing then the message of the cross, and hearing the promise of the angels, he shall come again. We will have prepared ourselves and others for that glorious day. We'll have lived for him, and then through his goodness, through his grace and mercy and love, God through his Son, Jesus Christ, will give to us life everlasting in the eternal kingdom of God. Are you living for him today? Give your heart, give your life to Jesus Christ today. He'll be your Savior, he'll be your Redeemer, he will be your coming King, and you will live with him in the kingdom of God upon this earth throughout eternity. May God bless you as you make a decision for him.